Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. So this morning's episode is entitled, Don't Let That Bad Experience That Almost Killed You Get the Best of You. I'm going to be reading this morning from the Acts of the Holy Spirit, or the Book of Acts. It is sometimes also called the Acts of the Apostle. But I prefer to call this particular book, which is the first book of church history, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Through those who had been anointed by God to carry forth the Evangelia, that is the gospel, the good news. And the book of Acts tells us that many received this good news, and there is also those who were decidedly opposed to this good news. And so therefore, the word of salvation and God's saving activity experienced opposition, very sharp and pointed and substantive opposition. We have in the Book of Acts the prominence of Peter and the prominence of Paul. And so I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 14, beginning at verse 8. Paul is in a city called Lystra, and it reads in verse 8, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, and steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand up on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices and said in the speech of the Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Now please note the mindset and the orientation of the people, and please note their perception of Paul. And so in verse 12 we read, and they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. So notice again the perception of both Paul and Barnabas. The name Barnabas means, and Paul enjoyed his company during this particular missionary journey. Verse 13, then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffer all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, verse 17, he left not himself a witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people. Now, this is very interesting because the people, to show the fickleness of the people, as they had witnessed the miraculous event of the healing of the impotent man, or the individual who was impotent in his feet, as the service of language that we have in verse 8, they were. In verse 11, these people believed that the gods had come down in the likeness of men. And then they were going to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. But notice what happens in verse 19. In verse 18, we read that they first restrained the people from sacrificing to them. But now, because of this visit from certain persons from Antioch and Iconium, the people were persuaded on a different path. Notice what they did. Instead of sacrificing the apostles, they stoned Paul. Verse 19, we read, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, this is an amazing occurrence. And what we're going to see is the power of God at work in the life of Paul. This was a very dangerous city for the apostles. And so this event takes place in verse 19. Paul is stoned. Let me tell you at this point, the name Lystra means halt. H-A-L-T. Halt. And so in the course of doing the will of God, from the heart, obeying God, doing his will, Paul is stoned. And he is dragged out of the city. Now, when we go back to verse 8, we read, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. I want you to see that where there is the word of God, where there is the saving activity of God, there is also the work of the enemy alongside of it. Now, in verses 11 and 12, we read that the names given to Paul and Barnabas were significant, that is, Jupiter and Mercurius. because the people were referring to them as their Amidas in human form. And the reason that Paul and Barnabas did not refuse the people's worship immediately was that in the people's excitement after witnessing the miracle, they reverted back to speaking their native tongue or language, which Paul and Barnabas did not understand. And so this situation was very interesting. And now when we go back, to Acts 13, we read about the work of Paul in Antioch of Pisidia, and the work that that they had done there, and it was not easy for them, but they preached the word of God, and individuals were saved. So now, so both in both Antioch and in Iconium, this is now I'm reading from chapter 14 of the book of Acts, verse 2. We read, well, verses 1 and 2 reads, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of both Jews and also of the Greeks believed. Verse 2 reads, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Now, these are the very ones who would go to Lystra and stir up the people there against Paul. And so, the word here in verse 2, that made their minds evil affected against the brethren, is one word in Greek. It is kakon, which means to do evil or to ill-treat, to embitter, or exasperate. And you'll find the same word given in Psalm 105, verse 32. And so then you have in verse 2 the word unbelieving ones. And so, which means that they are unwilling to be persuaded and therefore withhold obedience. So these individuals followed Paul to Lystra and stirred up the people. In verse 19, we read, they persuaded the people and they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. What an event. What a trial. I've heard people say that the safest place to be is within the will of God. Note what happens to God, what happens to Paul in the midst of the will of God. Notice this particular spiritual calamity that he faces because of his obedience. But a very interesting turn of events happens in verse 20. Verse 20 reads, howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, that is Paul, he rose up. He rose up and came into the city. Now, I want you to see something wonderful here. What could have tragically changed Paul's attitude about the will of God did not happen. What an event such as stoning, which happened to Stephen. Stephen was stoned and he became the church's first martyr. Here Paul was stoned, and one would think that psychologically he would be disarmed and he would not want to go back and face those who attempted to murder him and believe that they had murdered him. But notice the faith of the disciples in verse 20. And they were not discouraged. This was most certainly a tragic event and a very tragic situation. But Paul stayed within the will of God. And indeed, it is true. The safest place for us as believers is within the will of God. And so Paul was not psychologically disarmed. He was not discouraged. There was no regret in his heart about following the will of God for his life. And so, notice what Paul, what happens in verse 20. Paul rose up, and he went back into the city. And we read after the colon, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. I love verse 20 because Paul was not going, Paul left this city on his own terms. He had within his heart that understanding that the will of God was paramount, the will of God was first. He knew that God had raised him up. And God had given him his resurrection power. This is why Jesus said to his to the apostles that they were to tarry or they were to wait in Jerusalem until they would be endowed with power from on high, because Jesus knew the type of ferocious opposition they would face. And so they would need the power of the Spirit of God in order to carry out the will of God in publishing the gospel, the good news. So the enemy did not stop Paul. Paul kept on keeping on. I love his attitude. I love his vigor. I love his fire. I love his conviction. And we like to quote Paul as saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And here's an instance of that conviction. It is the conviction of Paul's heart that we see on display here. Yes, we read, and he rose up. The foundation, the key word in the book of Acts is agare. It is a word for resurrection. We read in Acts 9 that when Paul was knocked from his horse, later on he got up from the earth. It was the same word. He rose up, agare. Paul knew at that moment in Acts 9 that the resurrection power of Christ would enable him to do the will of God, to carry out the mission that God had given him. Paul had scales over his eyes at that point. Paul was blind in it. He could see. Before that event, he could see, and yet he was blind. But God blinded him in order to give Paul the necessary vision that he needed for his future. A few days later, the scales that were over his eyes fell out. They were gone. Now he could really see. Paul did not merely, he no longer merely saw with his eyes, he saw through his eyes. That is a wonderful level of spiritual maturity, the ability to stop seeing with the eye, but the ability to stop seeing, to start seeing through one's eyes. It means that one is growing up in the faith once for all, even to the saints. That experience, that bad experience that almost killed you, at one point you may have looked at it with your eyes or with your perception. And the way you looked at it was in a very selfish manner. It was prejudiced by your subjective experience. But guess what? When God begins to grow you up, when you begin to see, and when you begin to utilize the Word of God in your life, now you understand that experience from a different viewpoint because you gather more knowledge. And you've left the realm of the merely empirical. It is the merely observable. You've left the realm of subjective interpretation, which is a realm of empiricism. And now you live in the world of pisticism. Pistis is the Greek word for faith. Well, faithless. But our term faith, the word pistis, is a noun of action, just as the term grace is a noun of action. So grace is a noun of action, and the Greek term agape, or for the Greek term for love, 1:16, is a noun, also a noun of action. Notice, pistis, noun of action. Grace, or katos, is a noun of action. And so these words become very important for our faith awareness, our faith maturity, our faith understanding. Now, we can see that bad experience or that negative experience in a different light. And we can glean from it some very important realities. So we glean from those experiences. Now, look at what happened to Paul. He was stoned in verse 19. And there may have been persons who attempted to stone your life, verbal abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, rape, incest, economic abuse, racial abuse. You may have been brutalized by one of those types of abuses, or maybe several. And people may have believed that they had stoned your life and stoned you to death. And you may have believed that a certain experience or set of experiences almost killed you, and quite possibly due to the interpretation that you gave of events and due to what happened in your body physiologically as a result of your negative thinking, quite possibly it almost did kill you. So let me tell you that you and I cannot afford negative thinking. And if we have had a negative experience that has impacted our lives and colored our lives with bitterness and resentment, yet you must let it go. You must loose that from your life. You must forgive. Afene, the word for forgive, means to release an individual from a debt, from a debt that is impossible to pay back. Listen carefully. Forgiveness means to release an individual or individuals from a debt that is impossible to repay. You forgive. You let it go. Forgiveness is not for the person who has sinned against you in some manner. Forgiveness is for you. It is for your heart. It is for your life. Forgiveness is essential. This is the only way to break those negative bonds that you have with someone who may already be dead or gone or deceased, but still who has control or power over your life. Or the individual may still be alive, and yet that individual is still controlling your life because of your anger, bitterness, and resentment that you carry about what was done to you. If you do not release, you will be in bondage. Do not go along with the conspiracy to take your life. Take action. Take your life back. Paul stood up through the resurrection power of Jesus. He rose up. He went back into that city. He completed what God had called him to do. And notice, the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. He left on his own terms without deep psychological wounds or trauma. He wasn't going to allow that trauma to misdirect his life. He took control of a traumatic event through the power of God so that he could keep on keeping on. Do not let trauma go untreated. Do not let a traumatic wound control you. Get the appropriate help you need. Get to the professional help that you need so that you can be set free. It takes courage. Make that step. Let me rise up against your traumatic injury. Rise up against your traumatic wound. Do something about it. Take action. And guess what? You're going to start to change your perception about who you are. You're going to change in so many ways that are positive. Because you have dared to rise up and to take control, and you're going to handle this situation on your own terms. God will give you the power to face that event, that situation, with the power of His Spirit, with His resurrection power. Go to God. He is waiting for you to ask Him for what you need to have a life of superabundance. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.